The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
If you are one of those people who has been concentrating on a daily basis in getting your 10,000 steps in, bad news for you. Rory O'Connor is with us. He's fitness manager and personal trainer, and he's going to debunk some fitness myths, starting with that one. This is a marketing campaign, not a fitness reality. Is that right, Rory?
That's correct, Anton. Yeah, so the 10,000 steps thing was created for 1964 Tokyo Olympics and a marketing campaign to get people moving. So the reality was that 10,000 in Japanese kind of culture is like a million. It's this huge number that people refer to. So they said, right, we'll get people doing that. Also, seemingly the Japanese calligraphy makes it look like a person walking.
See? Oh, the letter itself is. Okay.
So it has no basis of science. It was a marketing gimmick to sell a pedometer, as far as I'm aware. Yeah. So,
does it make a difference to your overall fitness? Because one of the things I've always wondered about is, on the one hand, you are told fitness lies in cardiovascular health, stressing the heart a little bit, yeah, whereas you can get in 10,000 steps with relative ease as long as you just keep walking.
Yeah. Like anything that gets people moving, more active, being more active more often is a good thing. But the nuance is that if you get 9,000 steps today, it's not a failure. If you get 11,000 steps, you're not suddenly going to be incredibly healthier than others. I think in that article in the Irish Times during the week, I think they said it for older adults, it capped out around 7,000. So if you were doing 2,000, you got the 7,000 steps, it's a big difference. But if you did more, there wasn't much more going happening.
What about then the suggestion that you should avoid yogging, I believe they call it, because it damages your knees?
No. Like anything done safely with good technique, and it's going to be helpful. Anything done badly is
going to be... Hang on a minute. I was told that all high impact exercise was problematic because of its damage to the joints.
No.
Who has been lying to me, Rory?
Everyone's been... The internet has been lying to you, Anton. No, there's... Anything done badly is going to be cause inherent damage. If you lift too heavy a weight, or you run too fast, or run too far, that's well beyond your goals or your where you are at the moment, it's going to probably be not good. Stretch goals, probably, okay, you do a 5K in the park run this morning. Come maybe later in the year, 10K is a good place, and then a half marathon. But you don't go from today, 5K to a marathon next.
But you shouldn't avoid high impact exercise.
No.
What about lifting heavy? Because there is a school of thought that says that particularly as you age, the only way to prevent muscle atrophy and to gain bulk is heavy lifting, not just high reps.
Heavy is always a relative term. You always want to be somewhat slightly outside of your where you currently sit. That's going to be, if you're lifting 10 kilos today, okay, over a period of time, you want to be stretching that to 11 kilos and 12 kilos and so on and so forth. And it's as long as you stay within that kind of area where it's a little bit of a challenge, you'll make progressive overload. You'll make positive adaptations. Good stress in the body.
Because it is radio, people will not be able to tell this for themselves. So let me establish that you are a unit of a man yourself, right?
Thank you, Adam.
Do you get to that scale by doing relatively light weights to failure over high reps? Can you just rep your way to bulk, or do you need to be 4 or 5 repetitions, absolutely heaving, unable to walk the next day?
Boat will work. Heavy weights and light and small amount of repetitions, or lighter weights and lots of repetitions, they'll both have a good impact on you. Anything that you want to achieve is going to take consistently good rather than occasionally great. So going to the gym 3 times next week and doing nothing for the 4 other days isn't going to help. Going for a walk, walking the dog, going for a swim, going for a cycle, lifting some weights, doing some stretching, all of these things added up over a period of time will get you results.
What then about the one that I have always been hugely skeptical about, because something in my soul tells me it's just silly? Ice baths after exercise.
The science is still quite murky on it.
That means it doesn't work. Go on, just say it. Take a position, Rory.
I'm going to sit on the fence here completely. No, I think there's a huge amount of anecdotal evidence of it. If it makes me feel better, therefore I will recover better. You know, that if I get into go for a seat.
Sure, I can make the same argument about a chocolate cake.
Yeah, that's a fair point. The science certainly behind ice baths is there's not a huge amount of research out there that's going to back it up scientifically. But anecdotally, yes, it does help.
Why is it why is the world of athletics and high elite sport so willing to accept fads? Do you remember there was one Olympics where everybody was putting hot glasses on their backs and semi-blistering themselves. Yeah. There was another Olympics where they all had the strips on their nose to create. Yeah. Now, all of that came and went. Daft, but was bought into by everybody.
But then there was also, was it Usain Bolt eating chicken nuggets before the 100-meter finalist? You know, that I think maybe it comes from this kind of school of marginal gains. Maybe people at that elite level are trying to search for that 1% thing to make a difference. General population, day-to-day, there's no silver bullet. There's no one thing that you'll do that's going to make a huge difference overnight or over a period of time.
What then about the one that, again, we were all told, growing up, you were told two things. You can't swim for an hour after eating food. And the other one was you have to stretch before a workout. Do you?
No. A lot of stretching. You'll have so many schools of thought of to whether you should do a huge amount. I know other people that will never stretch. There's going to be a place for vote. Each individual person will try out and see what works best for them. I've always...
Because the logic is compelling. The notion that in some way that it warms up the muscle and lessens the chance of you tearing it or pulling it. But does the science back that up?
Not necessarily. Like a lot of stretching muscles and tendons will revert back to their normal state. You know, like I can stretch today. It'll be make a small difference. But if I'm not going to be suddenly able to do the splits tomorrow. If I want to be able to do the splits, it's going to be 6 months, 9 months, a huge amount of time put in. So,
although presumably you can reduce range of motion if you do particularly weight train without stretching. I mean, if you look at Devin Larratt, the arm wrestler, man can't extend his arms anymore.
Yeah. Like, but then there's an argument that there's a place where people will say, well, lifting weights through a good range of movement will inherently stretch you.
So the theme I'm getting here is stay off the internet. That's what you're telling me in essence.
It's a shocker.
Rory, thank you very much. That is Rory O'Connor, fitness manager and personal trainer.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.